In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On my own behalf, and on behalf of all the clergy who serve you at St. Gertrude the Great and St. Hugh of Lincoln, I wish you blessed Easter, the feast of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, after the Mass, there will be blessing of her food. And this, on this holy Saturday, we especially remember our own dear faithful departed who have died in this past year. And what a difference it makes for the celebration of Holy Saturday this year compared to last year. We should be ultimately and greatly thankful to God Almighty that He has granted us another year in His service, and that we can now celebrate with joy and gratitude the great feast of His resurrection. If you notice, the beginning part of the Holy Saturday service was very long. We quietly and with patience, we expected and waited during the long time and hours when Jesus was dead in His sepulchre, that the moment and hour would finally come when He comes forth from His tomb and shows to the whole world that He truly is God, He is Savior, and He is King. Yesterday on Good Friday, we silently remembered and meditated our Jesus, how He, with His sacrifice, He defeated devil and the death. But that victory over death, it was still very much done in silence, without any fuss or without any great happenings which were manifested to the world. Good Friday was great defeat for Satan, because he knew that he had lost the game then. But it was only when our Lord resurrected, when the whole world could see that there is our God, there is our Savior, and there is our King. Our Lord, He is King, not only in spiritual order, namely that He is in charge and He is the ruler over the demons and He is the one who saves our soul, but He is King also in the temporal order, namely that this Messiah, one whom the Romans and the Jews crucified because they don't want to receive Him, He would overcome all the nations and kings of the whole world. He would establish His Catholic Church, to whom all the people, both rich and poor, the ordinary and the kings, would be subjected to. His resurrection started with the great earthquake. It happened around the sepulchre, and this earthquake, and it happened because an angel descended from heaven, and so that he could roll over the stone which was blocking the entrance to our Lord's tomb. This earthquake was the arrival of God's messenger and angel, which made the sinners tremble. They had wondered about what were these strange happenings which happened during the crucifixion of our Lord in the nature. And now again, they could sense and hear that something remarkable was happening. And then everybody could go to our Lord's tomb to know that it really was empty. The soldiers who were set on guard to guard the tomb so that everybody would make sure that our Lord was dead, they were horrified with fear when they saw an angel and they sensed the great earthquake. They fell to ground as if they were dead. So taken back were they of these events, an angel and the earthquake. And notice that these men were soldiers. They were brave Roman legionaries. They had seen battle. They had seen blood. They had seen death in their time of battlefield. But now they were horrified. whenever a sinner, whenever somebody who thinks himself being much too high or much better than he really is, when he ever he is put into his own place, he gets horrified. And that's what happened to the Romans when they saw an angel and the earthquake. Never before had they trembled in battle, but in front of God's angel, they knew that there was the messenger of the great king, messenger of their creator, to whom they must bow to and bend their knee. We can think about in these events that how greatly will the sinners tremble when our Lord comes the second time. We remember on Christmas he came on this earth for the first time, and he came as a lovely little baby, somebody to whom we want to give gifts, somebody who would go up to become our great teacher and our savior. But our Lord, indeed, he will come a second time on this earth, and that makes all the sinners tremble of the thought that they now are be put on trial of their bad deeds. But to all of us, God's faithful, to all the people who want to take their cross and follow him in their lives, whenever our Lord comes in second time, that's not going to be the day of trembling and of fear, but that will be meeting the great King and Savior, somebody who comes to get us to his own eternal kingdom. In our lives, we must live so that we are ready to receive our great majesty and great king when he comes at the second time, so that we don't need to tremble like the Roman legionaries did. In our long liturgy, we also had the blessing of baptismal water and the blessing of baptismal font. And we learned and read from the liturgy how much the people yearn for, how much they desire to enter into kingdom of heaven. And we enter into kingdom of heaven through baptism. All of you, you have been raised from dead by baptism. Well, because of original sin, the sin of Adam and Eve, every child who is born into this world, he is born as if he were dead. He is living though, but only living in this world, in the temporal order. But we want our children and we want everybody to live also in the spiritual, in the supernatural order. So that's why we need to be baptized. The saving waters of baptism are those which grant us into the entrance of heavenly kingdom. That's why it's always such a great responsibility for parents to have their children baptized. And in baptism comes also the great responsibility to the parent or the guardian, namely that he raises his child so that when our Lord comes for the second time, that child doesn't need to tremble and to be in fear like the legionaries were, but he can meet his creator, his savior, and his king with joy and confidence. So we in our lives, we must walk with Christ the King. Our Lord is savior. He has granted us grace to live well in this earth so that we could be happy forever in heaven. And since Christ is savior, he is also a king. And king is a ruler, someone who has set serious and binding rules and obligations to those who he has called his disciples and followers in baptism. Today is the day when our Lord has shown to the whole world that he is savior, he is a king. The people, evil people who put Christ in the death, they were put to shame when they saw that the tomb was empty. They were put into tremble when they realized that Christ is living. They were put into shame again when Christ again walked with his disciples. He was teaching them, he was giving them instruction so that after he had ascended, they could continue his work. And as the evil people had persecuted Christ, they would now persecute his apostles. But eventually, just like a devil on Good Friday, after Easter Sunday, the whole world, both the ordinary people and kings, they would eventually see that Christ is King of Kings, and he is the Savior of souls. And if anyone wants to live not only in this world, but also after this world, he must bend his knee and obey his great Savior and his great King. That Christ is God and he is King, there we have empty tomb today as proof. The angel rolled the stone, not that Christ could go out, but that witnesses could go in and see that everything he said he would do, he in fact ended up doing, and everything what he said would take place, in fact, and actually did take place. So, dear faithful, on this feast of resurrection, when the long Lent and penance is finally over, then that we can now rejoice with our resurrected Lord. Make a pledge that you live your whole life according to the vows you did take on the day of your baptism. In baptism, you were called to God's heavenly kingdom, but it's not enough just to believe Christ is King. You must also bend your knee and obey this great King, your Savior and your benefactor and your Redeemer. If you are ready to do that, make a pledge and act according to the rules of his Holy Church. Truly, then, when he does come second time, you don't need to tremble, you don't need to be afraid, but as you have met and greeted him as a loving Savior and in the crib at Christmas Day, so you will also greet him as your great and loving and merciful Redeemer on the feast of his second coming, on the day of last judgment, and on the day of his collecting his saints into everlasting heavenly kingdom. Have a blessed Easter, and may God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.